Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to transformation.help.com. I forget what the heck. I still got to get that down right.
I'll help her next week to get that straight before we get on the air.
We will. But you know what? My name is Kim Evindeleppens, and I am happy to be here with you to offer you some real-life experiences with the help of our amazing friend, board member, and marriage and family therapist, Steve. How was your week, Steve?
It was good. My wife is getting ready to go back and visit our daughter. They have this special thing that about every 6 weeks. One of them has to go to the other's house in Oklahoma or
and
out here.
And you don't think it's so special, do you?
Well, I know when my daughter shows up, I don't have a wife. But and helping her get ready, there's a lot of anxiety because she's got stuff she's made and taken our grandson. Our daughter has one son, and our son has two daughters. But either way, she's the grandma of grandmas. And so... so that's what I have to focus on to make sure she doesn't run herself into the ground before she leaves. So, yeah. It's really cool. It's very cool.
Any gigs this week?
Gigs. You know what? We're starting a new set of songs, and so we had a rehearsal for about 3 hours on Saturday, so we're having a rehearsal 3 to 4 hours every Saturday this month.
Nice.
To get new music, which is very fun. A lot of horns stuff in it.
Really?
Yeah, that's cool. So very cool.
Well, hey, last week we kind of talked with you about an endorsement, if you will, for the curriculum of Transform. Very excited about that endorsement, as it was from Dr. Mattson, from president of C.S. Lewis Foundation. Today, what we want to talk with you about is, you know, transparency and why. What is the need for transparency? And, you know, I myself can really answer that quite well, especially considering the week I've had. We started our relationship trench class last Thursday, and I must confess on live blog talk radio that it was the day from hell, and it was hard. But that's okay. You know, I'm getting through it, and there's still some residue, if you will. But I can't help but think about the dynamics of the class. You know, I've always really felt and learned that the greater the amount of healing to be had, the greater amount of warfare. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, we've got some crazy dynamics in the class, and it's super, super exciting. And, you know, I'm not going to be transparent about their stuff. Obviously, I'm only going to be transparent about mine. But I've really had some opportunity to have some just in-your-face experience with how people fear transparency this week, and have lost, and hopefully temporarily, somebody kind of special to me just because of that whole thing of being transparent. And I really feel that the more transparent we are, the more free we are to heal, wouldn't you say?
Well, Murray Bowen, writer, author, psychologist, when I was in my program, my marriage and family program, he has a known frame of looking at families that are dysfunctional, which makes you a family, actually. We're all dysfunctional. And he calls it the multi-generational transmission process, where the things our parents struggled and suffered, we will probably leave home having struggled and suffered from some of those things. Mm-hmm. And because one of those is usually the inability to talk about how we feel and what we think, and this transparency, there's several flavors of transparency, but this transparency is one of just my own feelings. I'd be as free, no matter who stepped on my foot or I fell on my leg, I should be able to run to my parents and say, ouch, and expect them to understand and give me a hug. Mm-hmm. But what's really complicated is if I go to the person that did the wounding, that caused my emotional knee to be scratched. And so we suffer from a lot of things that our parents left us with, and his recommendation was to go actually to the source of the pain that we have suffered and take 5 or 10 minutes, and it's going to feel like 5 or 10 hours, that you would actually confront them and tell them how you feel. based on what you experienced as a child. When my kids were 15, they're a year apart, so 2 years in a row, I went to a camp with each of them, a dad-child camp, one daughter, one son. And while I was there, I purposed to ask them how their dad was doing. Are there things in their lives that they want to talk about? Are there things in their lives? And we'd had that kind of relationship, so it wasn't like the first, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe they're talking about this real stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's that kind of transparency that we need to look for and be able to. Otherwise, we kind of stay hidden and kind of guarded and afraid, and we will not become all that we were intended to be.
Yeah.
When our lives then are really focused around kind of pretending.
Well, and it's, you know, and just because, you know, I'm learning the hard way. Gosh, I've been doing this almost 5 years now, and I don't think it hurts any less when something happens,
sure,
which bothers me. Does that mean I haven't grown, or does that mean my heart's still soft?
Well, listen to your question and listen to the answer we're looking for. It isn't that we won't suffer pain. The question is, what do we do with the pain? What do we do when someone hurts us? And that's the whole issue of history, where as a family, you weren't free to say, I'm sure, or you would have somehow been punished. And so it isn't that you become pain-free.
Yeah.
It's realizing that you have options when the pain comes that you did not have before, and you don't have to feel afraid to say, because you realize that when you share how you feel, you're really not talking about the other person.
Yeah.
You're talking about you. I have a value that has a right to be defended without being defensive.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And
I
have
a value that has a right to be defended without being defensive.
When I tell you how I feel, I'm talking about how my feelings were experienced when you, even if you didn't intend, when somebody steps on your foot, we hope that's not on purpose.
Right.
So people can step on your emotional feet, not on purpose. The pain is still present, but I don't have to be afraid to know that I have a right to share. In fact, I have a responsibility to share,
mm-hmm,
not only because it frees me, but also it frees us, because the person on the other end may begin to feel something around me that I didn't explain.
But it doesn't also, what I'm learning, and it's so difficult at times, is just because I'm transparent, and even if I try to explain the ouch in a very reasonable, rational way, does not mean they're going to receive it transparently or rationally. Correct?
Well, that's true, because in their history, anybody that did anything wrong, even though you're not telling them they did something wrong, will result in some kind of pushback or judgment. So if they were able to say, they'd be that free as well to say, wow, I'm really sorry I stepped on your foot, and you know what, you're right, I did what you said.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool, and they would be matured along the way.
And I think the biggest challenge is when they're not.
That's right.
Being okay.
Sure.
And then not going, oh gosh, did I do that wrong?
Well, how dare you accuse me?
Well, and not just
how
that,
dare
but
you
like,
tell me I'm a bad
wrong,
person?
Or am I going crazy?
Oh yes, there's no validation now.
Oh my God, exactly.
You have to stand on your own. And I was just sharing with Evinda, I'm reading a book by General Stockdale, wrote about his 8 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he was a philosophy buff, kind of, and he was talking about Aristotle and Plato and all those guys that we think are, you know, foreign in our mind. But he talked about courage.
Mm.
People would have to have courageous. And so his definition of being courageous was the enduring of the soul, that we have to be resilient. We have to get past any wound or any pushback or any hurt and stand up and fight again, the courageous soldier, instead of letting the first time he gets knocked down or the first bullet that just missed his head all of a sudden drops to his knees in fear and trembling. He can endure past the moment, and I think that's the fear of all of us. You know, we've not learned to endure. We are very, very thin-skinned, and we wound easily, and so we keep things in, and it just builds up to create the need of this curriculum you've developed, and that is, how do we deal with the transformation of our souls when they've been so wounded?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a tough thing when there's not an acknowledgement of what they did, or they don't understand what you're saying, and in fact, they add more coals to the fire of the moment.
And you just want to be the Holy Spirit. Can't you figure this out?
Let me play Jesus with you right now.
Yeah, and I'm learning. I can't do that. But, man, the learning curve is painful. And I was sharing with Steve just a few days ago when this all started, this thing that I'm going through. I shared with him how funny – that my word or my character for the year that he wants to, I feel he wants to sharpen and refine and instill in me is that of meekness, which is a form of gentleness, a power and control. Holy moly. So.
Well, I think we don't stand well alone.
Mm-mm.
And in the book of 1 John, I think the third chapter, it says that if my conscience is clear before God, I have confidence before God.
1 John what?
1 John 3, about the 18th verse mm-hmm. in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sadness is, and of course Christ's model to us was exactly that. He had only his Father. When he was in the garden, he went to his buddies and said, hey, can you stay awake and pray for me?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he turns around and they're sleeping. So in those most difficult moments, we want and need understanding, but really it's a pretty complicated moment when we're that deeply hurt.
Yeah.
But the only one that might even get it, or the people that come to these classes, and it's highly encouraged, and there's a lot of sharing in these kinds of classes so that people understand that they're not the only ones that have gone through those things, and they're not the only ones that feel what you're talking about you feel. And so we need each other for a lot of healing, and a lot of it is the significance of realizing I am not alone.
Yeah, so that's a really good scripture reference for this whole transparency, which is really what we're talking about today. Why in the world do you need to be transparent? You know, we had a couple that had registered for the class, and a friend had recommended, you know, got them into the class, and they didn't show. And about halfway through the class, the lady tells me, look, this is the text I got from her, and she lets me see this text that, you know, her husband wouldn't get up and come to the class because he didn't feel there was anything wrong with their marriage. And it's funny. It's like, why does there have to be something wrong to go to a class to better your relationships, you know?
Well, exactly. If we're doing well now, just think how much better
right.
we could do if there's always, always something. I was in three, four years in three different group therapy processes. One was my master's degree in marriage and family. I was working on a PhD, and so there was another year of that, and then it was 10 years apart. And every time there was something I was ready to deal with that I wasn't ready to deal with 10 years earlier. And so we are a work in progress and process.
Mm-hmm.
To think we've ever arrived is the beginning of the problem.
Yeah.
And I think if we understand each other, we're very fluid. We are always, you know, a living organism that is either growing or dying, kind of. We don't ever stand still in our process of life. So, but it takes, again, a lot of courage to face those kinds of things.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a very brave, these are very brave people that come
and
to your
class. And I really need to be more mindful of that because I think I'm really a weirdo. You know, I think I'm just really an oddball. In fact, Stephanie, the other day, we were talking about my son, and she said, you know, not everybody connects like you do, Kim.
Yes.
And it's like, dang it, that's just, okay, so what are you trying to tell me? I'm a weirdo? Yeah, I am kind of different, I guess. But yet, I guess I really try to tell people it's better if you do it. It's better if you're transparent. And I guess need to remember that it's just not so easy for people, you know?
Well, let's understand that.
Is it 318, by the way?
19 and 20.
19 and 20, okay.
What we have to understand is that most people are not aware of the things you know, and
mm-hmm.
most of them aren't sure that they would choose it if we try to explain it because it all rings of risk and fear and vulnerability, and so why would anybody want to be that? So, yes, you are kind of weird, you know, that you think, wow, tell me more about how bad I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really the process, but I think that's the picture most people have. And because of that, they are stuck kind of paralyzed by the things that they don't think they want to know or process to know. And because of that, we are stuck where
we
are.
Well, and it's a crazy cycle because if you just, like, trace it all back, you know, I was reading in the homework that I've prepared for the students in the first page of the discussion questions, you know, Milan and Kay talk about, you know, it's not just love that makes a relationship work. Without trust, there can't be love, right?
Well, yes, and funny you should tap into trust because that is what's at the bottom of why people are so limited and inhibited.
And
because
not transparent.
Their history says, I was there once, and it's overrated.
Yeah.
I took risks. I started with my parents, and I had boyfriends and girlfriends, and I had friends.
It sucks.
And so, yeah, you're telling me, and open up more, you know, so that, you know, I might have missed a spot. So, yeah, the whole issue of trust is very at the core. But that's why if you have God in your world as part of this, hopefully he can give you a greater sense of understanding why people do what they do. But I think when we understand marriage, which is the class that's going on right now, it's called
relationships.
How we love, who we love.
Yeah.
And many people get into a marriage and there's not a consciousness of this, that I'm looking for someone to be my parents that weren't. I'm looking for someone to care for me the way my mom didn't or my dad didn't. And so we kind of pick up where we left off from home, having resentments of things that they didn't do and pieces they didn't give. And so we still want those. And, of course, what God tells us is that he's the only one that is capable of those unlimitednesses and expectations and trust abilities, because the person you marry is going to be as equally vulnerable and equally afraid. And so when we put our trust in a man or woman, even though we need to trust, and that's where hopefully in this class couples come together and they learn to talk about things that they might have thought about before but didn't know how to bring up.
Yeah.
And so that's the cool thing about this process of understanding how you love. And if you understand the how we love process, there are five styles of connecting.
They call them unhealthy styles of connecting. Well, six, but five are unhealthy.
Well, they're unhealthy, but I call them connecting styles, whether they're unhealthy or not, because that's how we do it.
Right, they're styles, you're right.
So when you take an assessment and you realize I'm one of those, whatever those five are, it doesn't automatically create an indictment. Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
And it's a bad thing versus, oh, okay, well, now there's words. Now I understand why I do what I do. Now I understand when I'm trying to make that connection, why it's hard for me. And so it's actually a freeing, ideally. It's a freeing awareness.
Yeah.
It's not why are you the way you are and how bad that is versus, oh, that's why you're the way you are and I understand why
you're doing it. Yeah, and it's definitely not any of the classes that Trent Classes United, a brand new DBA under Chicklet Power Ministries. It's not anything that we ever bash the parents. I have received so much freedom to forgive because of what I've learned, and consequently because I'm free to forgive, I'm freer. You know, I'm just more free to roam about the cabin and be healthier in my relationships. And, you know, sometimes it does. It just gets a little discouraging. Like, am I ever going to freaking get this all right? You know, but I don't know. It's a process.
Well, and that's what I want to get back to, helping you understand what we're doing now in the 3 or 4 weeks of time in these stages of introduction, that we're back to understanding the roots of weaknesses, wounds, and worries, and where do those roots come from, and how do I get freed from the ways of life that have kept me kind of paralyzed either to move forward or make a connection or be more confident of who I am and understanding myself. And so
I wrote a kind of a couple of analogies that help us understand, again, the reason why we want to be transparent and why we want to transform, and transparency is key to transformation. But those of you out there who have ever had an illness or ever gone to a doctor, have you ever been misdiagnosed and consequently taken an ineffective medication that just wasn't getting rid of your symptoms? I know I was. I've been in the past, and they had me on something for something else, and turn out I had a sinus infection that actually lasted for, I don't know, almost 3 months.
Huh.
So a problem cannot get fixed if you do not know its origin. And that's kind of the way that these roots work, if you will, and usually they get bigger the longer they stay unresolved or unburied. And so another analogy I use is the yard. You know, how many of us like to go out in the yard and we look out there and we see weeds, and they're, you know, those suckers, some of them look really pretty.
They do.
Right? It's kind of deceiving because sometimes I can't tell a weed from...
Well, I was pulling weeds with Gail the other day and I asked her, is this one or not? You know,
right?
Because I wouldn't have picked it.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them look really cool. And that's kind of how these roots work as well, is, you know, they're very, very deceiving. While you might think that something is attractive, it's not. But anyways, they threaten to destroy the growth of any kind of healthy soil. And so just imagine that your heart is the ground, right? Mm. The soil. And underneath it are these roots, not just weeds, but flat out roots. But we know if we don't get the weed at the root, what happens? It will be back. I remember when I was, right before I got taken away from my mom and my stepdad, for punishment, he used to always put us out the yard pulling weeds.
Oh.
Now I know why I can't stand yard work.
Man after my own heart, actually.
Right? Now I know why I can't stand yard work. But I remember having to just, like, pull with all my might, and I usually wound up on my butt, you know, just from pulling to try to get, and I feel such satisfaction because there would be that ball, you know, at the end
the bottom,
of it.
Which
it would
shows
be, yeah, I got the root.
You got it, right.
I got it. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what the heart was and is going through this program when I wrote it, and Steve helped me, and, you know, this is going to be great ground for me to keep recovering, I'll tell you that for sure. But if we consistently treat just the wound, and I'm talking about emotional wounds, and we're going to get into more detail about what those are, but just imagine if we were to just continue to treat a wound without getting to the root of it and looking at the symptoms, i.e. the unhealthy habit, the weakness, the worry, the woundedness, the root will continue to be the driving force of your negative behavior. And I thought maybe if you could take a minute or two to expound on that, Steve, why, how roots, I mean, people don't even know that they have them.
Sure.
So how is it that life reveals those roots?
Well, if we go back to what we were talking about earlier, is am I capable of owning when someone, God puts people in our lives. Ephesians 4, the 16th verse, talks about speaking the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends in the next verse with, for the proper working of each individual part. And if you're a member of the church, the member of Christianity, we are seen as the body of Christ. And so each member of the body needs to work to its capacity. And so sometimes, and I don't know, when we talk about transformation comes in relationship to other people. The kind of transformation we're talking about isn't something that you can get by listening to a sermon or reading a book. It has to be something that's an engaging. I got kind of jacked up by being in relationship to other people, and I can only be healed.
Yeah.
So let's say that somebody tells
us
in relationship.
That's how God uses them.
Yeah, so if somebody tells me I have an anger problem,
mm-hmm.
and of course I'm gonna be angry in reverse and prove that I'm not angry. You've misunderstood. So even if we just cut it off at the surface, someone tells you you're angry and you listen to it, and so you try to, of your own volition, your own ability, okay, the next time I talk to somebody, I'm not going to be angry. And so this is like sitting on a ball under the water.
Right.
Keeping it down, and it's growing. It's constantly growing because all the things that I'm not dealing with are creating that anger, which are the roots of its origin. And so I'm in denial. I have to be. Because if I was in touch with those things, they might be too big or too overwhelming. But my anger proves that there's something in there. And so it's just not a behavior modification process. It can't be just don't get angry, you know. And so I need people not only to be able to confront my anger, which is a tough thing if the anger is one of the roots, because who wants to talk to somebody who's that angry and going to say things that are hurtful? If they loved you enough and could, and parents kind of try to do that and too old to want to hear it, but somebody has to be free enough to say, wow, you know, when you get angry, instead of accusing you, they need to give you some feedback on it. And this is what it does to me.
This is how I feel when you get angry.
Yeah, it's about me. I mean, you might not know you're doing
about,
that.
Yeah, the other person.
And hopefully they care enough to realize, wow, maybe that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I have an issue with being angry, or maybe I have an issue with being shamed and guilty and things that we're going to look at. So the necessity is, first of all, to own it without fear. And ideally, you'll do that, but it's most likely you're going to do that with people that you trust. Here we are, back to trusting.
Mm-hmm.
They care for you, that you can finally admit what everybody probably already knows. You know, the alcoholic thinks the first day I'm going to tell them, everybody's going to know. I mean, get over it. I can't imagine an alcoholic finally admitting that and everybody says, no, not you.
Yeah.
You can't be true. It can't be true.
Right.
Versus, wow, how cool, you know, that you can finally say something that we can all talk about now. We can all deal with and help you overcome that, help us understand that, and that we can love each other now.
Yeah.
But a person in denial, they're going to keep doing what they do and tell themselves they're not doing it, and then they're going to find themselves being alone or on the outside and just can't figure out, how did I get here? But it takes a village, and that's a very broad statement for a lot of reasons and a lot of contexts, but it takes somebody that loves you, that cares enough for you, not only that would be free to tell you that, but you would even be close to admitting, so that you knew if you ever confessed those things that the person would say, oh, I still love you. That's okay.
Right, right.
I just want us to get it better.
Yeah, and that's what, it just really blows my socks, because that's the role that he has me in, and I always used to just say, I just want to write a book. Anyway, I just want to talk about with this one other point before we wrap up, you know, why you want to be transparent. But I love something that Rick Warren wrote in the Celebrate Recovery book, and this was before his son committed suicide. You know, in the Celebrate Recovery book, he clearly states, you know, we're not going to be dealing with the psychological aspect of any kind of addiction. We're going to deal with the spiritual aspect of it only. And he says, what you don't see can continue to hurt you, and undetected hurts create habits which turn into hang-ups. This is what Rick Warren says. Wounds that are left untended fester and spread infection throughout your body. And that's not speaking of just a physical wound. That is
sure.
An emotional, which means psychological, wound. And until we are ready to deal with those, are taught how to even begin to deal with those, we can't really be transparent, right?
Well, if you're in some doubt, as I did with my children, asking them the question, is there anything about your dad that you want to see different?
Mm.
So I would have to, with that question, be ready to hear the answer and accept that it's possible.
It's going to hurt.
Well, it's possible they're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their view. That's their opinion. Now, unless I ask that question, and that would be scary, you know, talk about courage, that my soul would have to endure the answer to that. But if really I tell myself I love the people that I'm around, what I want to know, are there any things about me and my character, my habits, my attitude that is unloving, that could be wounding of them?
So that's a challenge.
Sure.
So now you just gave me this challenge, which I think I really need to try to take. So
oh.
If I were to ask George, and we're going to have to wrap it up here pretty soon, but I would ask George, say that again, are there any?
Yes. I'm not sure that. It's possible, of course. I am human. But is there anything in my character, in my habits, my behavior that causes you?
Can we just do one? Because, man, he might have like an artillery full. Can I just give him
one
thing?
Well, I just gave him a lot of words because I don't know if he'd get either one of them. So I'm thinking, what do you hear? What would he hear you're saying? You're giving him, in case you get any of these, one might stick out.
Okay, so is there anything in my,
In my behavior?
In my behavior, my day-to-day behavior?
Yeah, my attitudes. Yeah, behaviors or attitudes.
Day behavior,
words.
Attitudes.
Yeah, things I say.
That what?
That you would want to talk to me about.
You would.
That are hurtful to you.
Want to tell me are hurtful.
Yeah, hurtful, show you disrespect.
Tell me are hurtful. Okay, so I'm going to try and do that this week.
Oh, okay.
Dear God. So we'll have something really fun to talk about next week.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me are hurtful or disrespectful or make you feel less than.
Yeah, so anybody listening that we're talking to aren't sure if they qualify for anything that sounds like you heard that might fit.
Yeah.
If you're in doubt, ask those you're closest to.
That would be the best way.
Because they may have wanted to have been telling you that for a long time.
And so I am going to actually do that this week.
Cool.
Coming up, and I will be back. We'll be back with you next Monday to share with you George's answer to that very, very,
very cool.
Tough question. Love you.
Talk to you.
the fear.